Okay, this is Speaker Square. Everybody's welcome to speak. Anybody's welcome to speak for as long, as short as you want. And it's part of an experiment in democracy, and you get to hear points of view that you probably wouldn't hear, generally speaking, in a sort of a controlled media environment anyway. So there was something that it was actually, Rasta was assuming that we live in a democracy, and that's something to do with people rule. I'm not so sure of that. Okay, politicians are treated like brand names, and it's something like a political soap opera that we're treated to on television all the time. And it's usually, they're talking shite. And if you watch what gets into the news, it's either a press release from Gardaí, or a leaked statement from Gardaí, or else it's some sort of a manufactured row between two politicians that are going on about nothing in particular. So whether Ivor Callerly is corrupt, and you've probably got two politicians arguing over whether he's corrupt, and they're probably both corrupt themselves, you know, so who knows, you know, it's just small stuff they're arguing over. There's nothing democratic about voting, as Churchill called it, an elected dictatorship every 5 years. Nothing democratic about that. We do have democratic pretensions in our, we actually have democracy in several ways. We have a jury system that could be extended to a whole load of different other areas. That's we could be, instead of having dial committees, we could have people drawn by lots to actually hear evidence from various bodies as to how things work. We have the subsidiarity principle in the European Union. Decisions made at the lowest level possible. That's quite democratic. It's brilliant. And then we also have, I suppose you could bring referendums to the full extent and have referendums on as much things as possible. That's much more possible in a democratic, in a technological age. But I know there's something very wrong with the computer system they have now that's going to cost us far more. It's already cost 50 million. It's going to cost more. But with this system, the problem is the lack of transparency. If they had a transparent system, which is quite possible and quite feasible, it would be brilliant. For instance, when you go to a bank and you go to an ATM, there's no question. You don't ask any questions about transparency. You know, you can trust it. And a political system could be done the same. And we could have referendums. We could also have a delegation, a delegate system that people, the politicians, could be recalled whenever people are dissatisfied with what they've done, and which is also a fantastic system. So there's a few of these things going about, but to its full extent, we would have a democracy. It's quite practicable. We already have some of the things in place already. It's just by pushing them to their full extent. Now, one of the things, the fact that we live in a capitalist democracy, so-called, liberal democracy, means we got something like the greying of Ireland. It's no longer going to be called the Emerald Isle. It's going to be called the Concrete Isle. Because it's just building and building and building. And maybe it employs 13% of workers in this economy. But there's no thought given to where it's going to go or what it's all for. It's just build and build and build. So you need more workers to do more building, and then you need more houses to actually house these workers. And the ultimate logic is that the whole country becomes one big grey concrete area, and absolutely daft. There's no question about rural sustainability or anything like that. Another question as well that sort of leads to is that with everybody moving to Dublin and moving to city areas, although Ross is moving the opposite direction to Leitrim, you got the whole idea of transport. So we know that Dublin bus travels the slowest that any bus company in the whole of Europe travels, 12.5 kilometres per hour in rush hour. And it loses 60 million a year, it says, because of traffic congestion. So how the hell can you expect people to use buses when the traffic is so bad in the first place? So you're going to have a need a lot more bus-only, bus corridors. Again, that'll take a bit of political will, which isn't exactly there. So again, bringing back to transport and this one person, one car, it brings into the question the whole idea of oil. Why isn't there more? Why isn't windmill energy, for instance, used more? There's Vittorio Prodi, Romano Prodi's brother. What? It would. No, there is something called fuel cell, and there are other. There's actually, it's fantastic. The Barron family in County Wexford have rapeseed oil, and they actually grow it. And 6 acres will run a car for a year, and it costs 69 cents a litre.
That doesn't
change.
These environmentalists told me that if every car was to run on rapeseed oil in Europe, you would have to, or even in Ireland, you have to grow from here to there.
That's not true.
Yellow,
that's not true, and that's a myth. That's not true. That's not true, and that's a myth. For instance, not everybody in this country has a motor car. And I think that taxation of motor cars should be heightened in the cities, and people should be encouraged to use rent cars to go down the country or whatever. And in the country, obviously, people need motor cars. It's a different question. But at the moment, under current car ratio and car uses, it would take up one third of the country of oilseed rape. Would supply all Irish car energy needs, and that's 6 acres per car per year, and it's 69 cents a litre. And it is possible, it's practical, and why isn't it done? In fact, the Barron family have a problem because the government are putting excise on what they're producing, so they can't compete with oil companies because they haven't got the same infrastructure. People can't just stop in at the garage and get some of this stuff. So they charge 500 euro to actually just convert a diesel engine into this. Another friend of mine has actually made a multi-fuel engine that can run on just about anything. And again, what's happening to this? Loads of people are coming up with this stuff all the time. It is available, it can be done in cars. And definitely wind energy is a way forward. Where I'm from, near Carnsore Point in County Wexford, they're going to build a nuclear power station. What's there now? A windmill farm. Beautiful. Really fantastic. There was a lot of locals worried about the noise pollution and stuff. But it's so bloody windy out where they put it anyway, you'd hardly hear it when it's going, whenever the wind is in action. The problem is only with it that whenever it's really wind and there's gale force, it actually the thing turns itself off. So they could actually make it far better. So that's the wind farm. But go back to Vittorio Prodi. He's got something. I'm wearing a watch now. If I shake my hand, that'll actually charge itself for 3 days. Now what Vittorio Prodi is proposing is something called fuel cell. It works off the same principle, that we can carry around something that will capture every single kinetic movement that we can do. And actually we can tap that into a grid. And we can actually, for instance, run our PCs off it. And the idea will be that this is made compulsory for everybody to actually be carrying and wearing one of these. And he said the potential is absolutely amazing. One of these can be put in the engine of your car as well, or in the engine of a bus, in the engine of trains. And all of this as well, it means that energy is recycled back in to more energy. So energy cannot be created or destroyed, and only transferred from one form to another. And this really, so it brings into question why oil is still so important in this economy of ours. In fact, oil, there is going to be a problem with oil and gas very shortly. It doesn't just take the recent crisis with Russia for us to realise this. When you buy a pint of beer, let's say a pint of Guinness, and most of that goes on tax, all right. But you're also paying for the lighting in the pub, for instance, the heating in the pub, the wages of the barman. All this is oil is factored in. The transport of the beer. The man who is working in the bar probably got in by using some oil-based transport, and that's obviously factored into the wages as well. Everything is incredibly inflated because of this commodity called oil, and it is only a commodity. There's absolutely no reason for this. There was a competition between trains and cars in the early 1900s, and cars won out because the oil companies invested and pull government strings to make sure that they were going to win out. And there is nothing gainsaid about oil. We take it for granted. But everything that we do is factored into it. So even the groceries you buy, oil is factored into that. And when we see there are going to be problems in oil coming online fairly shortly, and if we don't get our act together, there's going to be problems. And I don't imagine that there's going to be a revolution. I'm far more pessimistic. I think that things will get a hell of a lot worse. They have. We've seen what they were doing in New Orleans, in the United States, in Hurricane Katrina. They didn't send in the emergency authorities. What they sent in was the police and the National Guard to try to keep control of the situation. And that's what we can expect when things start to go wrong because of oil at the moment. And again, it's down to capitalism, democracy, and people, I suppose, choosing for their brains to remain lazy because they're lulled with things like soap operas, EastEnders, or whatever they have on at Christmas, carrying Knock na Gaoithle, or whatever they call it. And that's on. So there's all this. We have to really be concerned about this environmental stuff. It has real social implications for every single one of us. And I've no illusions that there's going to be a lovely paradise when we get this sorted out. But it really does impact on everything we do right now. But especially it impacts on who is the real power in this world at the moment. Because the people who control the scarce resources, which should be the state, and I mean a democratic state, like I outlined democracy to be, that's all scarce resources should be controlled by the state. Let everything else, let markets operate. Okay, I'll let Ciarán speak now about some of the impact of the oil, of something, a war for oil has happened in Iraq, and maybe Ciarán might choose to speak about other things, but thanks very much. And anybody else is welcome to get up here as well if they want.